The current spoiler warning level is butterscotch.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of butterscotch. This one's pretty much safe. We're just talking about one machine with no variants from New Mobile Report Gundam Wing. But two things come up. One, we mention its involvement in a future show, which is basically just a brief cameo in a way that doesn't matter at all. We don't even spoiler tag that one. It's literally just saying, like, and this appears in the background at one point. It doesn't matter. And then right at the end of the episode, I mean, a couple of minutes from the end, but it's just us rambling for a bit there. Dylan mentions the last line of the Gundam Wing sequel, Frozen Teardrop. I don't think that's a big deal, but we'll spoiler tag it just to be safe in case someone doesn't want to hear, you know, the last like sentence or two of that story completely out of context. But however you feel, please enjoy the episode. Friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG. I hope you have your Gunpla bundled up for the winter. It's getting cold out there. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Dylan. Also, make sure you don't rotate their joints too quickly, because the cold will make it likely to more likely to snap.
Hey, useful advice. That's weird. Not really what I do, but okay.
I thought you were going to say not really what you do, and I'm like, oh.
When toys are cold, like, for instance, if you were to order, like, a figure right now, like, or you have, like, a Robot Spirits coming in from P-Bandai, and it is cold out, and it has been sitting in the box cold out, make sure the toy is warmed up before you start moving it, because, it, again, cold makes things harder and more brittle, and you don't want to accidentally snap a joint or something. That wouldn't be very fun, you know?
Sure, that all checks out.
Anyway, all right. Six robots. We roll.
We do. We're starting.
Yeah.
Okay. After colony, not a lot left.
Damn, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. It's like, what do we have? It's like random Oz suits, I think, is all we have left, right? Maybe some G-unit stuff?
Not quite.
I can't remember. We talked about all the Gundams, right?
Depends on your definition. But
God damn it. Okay, yeah.
We have the Oz, obviously, 12 SMS.
12 SMS? That's a weird fucking number. Oz 12, though, that's, is it one that's in the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Plenty.
All right. I don't know. See, the problem is if I start guessing, I'm just going to start naming zodiac signs. So, what is it?
It is very similar to the name of a Pokemon. Does that help you?
Okay. That would be Taurus. Taurus? No, Taurus. Taurus. Taurus is the Pokemon.
Correct.
Okay.
On both counts.
That's a weird... What a weird number, SMS. Special mobile suit?
I think it's space mobile suit.
Or space mobile suit, that makes sense. But they use them on Earth.
They do, but they were definitely designed for space. I mean, like, I think pretty much only Noin uses them on Earth.
Yeah, I think so. That's at least the screen caps I'm seeing on the wiki now that I've pulled it up are all Noin, so Noin maybe has a special one.
Also, before the episode, we were talking, like, I guess we'll probably only do one episode, maybe two if it's a real short one. Well,
two.
So,
the Taurus. This is a mass production space combat mobile suit introduced in Gundam Wing. It is a transformable mobile suit, which is interesting for a mass production suit. It's really fucking weird and cool. Something I really wish had a model, and it bugs me that it doesn't. So, looking at the design, we have a What if you had a Leo head but turned it into, like, a fucked up hat? Like, a stretched out... I don't want to say a Pope hat, because Pope hats don't end in two little points like that. But you know what I mean. It's a very tall head. It's really funny, too, because even, like, you know the vents on the side of the Leo's cheeks? Those are also on the head. This head, they're just going vertical, though. But they're the same, like, you know, red with the little lines through a design on either side of the little forehead guard there. And, you know, you've got the square Leo camera. The torso, you've got... this is always weird, right? Because it's, like, kind of the torso, kind of the head, because on the Leo and the Taurus here and some other suits, they tend to run together, but it's got, like, those little... I always think of them as, like, sensor radomes on the collar, you know?
Yeah, but, I think that's right.
Sometimes, like, on model kits, they're frequently put on the cheeks of, like, the Leo and stuff. But then on, like, the Tall Geese, which, you know, theoretically has the same head as the Leo underneath, even though it rotates and everything, so it doesn't actually work that way, they're put onto the collar, so, you know, just wanted to address that. But anyway, the torso, though, very simple torso, you know, it's got your normal, like, plush-shaped armor going on the chest. Or maybe more T-shaped, I guess, if you want to discount the upper part as part of the head. But, you know, it's a very standard-looking Gundam torso. Not a lot to say about it. You know, and it has, like, a single torso segment that is on the lower part that's... In the standard colors, you have, like, a really, really dark... I don't really want to say it's black. It's because it's got, like, that purple shade on it. But, you know, it's a dark blue, dark black. It also depends on the lighting in the scene, looking at, like, the screen caps down there.
It's usually purple, though.
It's usually more on the purple. Yeah, the blue looks like it's more when, like, that probably is, like, a high light scene. Also, it doesn't look like a very high quality screen cap, so, you know, always that, too. But yeah, the, also around the collar, you do have, like, two points going up kind of surrounding the head, so it kind of has, like, a pop collar look. But, like, not your usual Gundam pop collar, it's just two points on either side, basically. That are going up. For the arms are... It's interesting, because you can see, like, it's got, like, that ball shoulder, kind of like the Leo. Then you've got shoulder armor attached to it that's, like, you know, it's got a plate on the front, plate on the back, and then a plate going up on the side. So, yeah, the arms, though, it's interesting to me, because they do look like Leo arms. Even though this is a transformable mobile suit, so clearly it has to have some changes from the Leo. Though it is a simple transformation, I will admit. The upper arm, though, almost looks like it has no armor, right? Like, we know that light purple is armor, but given the way the light purple is also used on, like, the joints, it almost feels like it has, like, just, like, the very bare minimum amount of armor there on the shoulder. And then on the around the upper part of the joint on the bicep, you've got a little bit of wraparound armor. For the lower arm... You've got much more substantial armor. I like how on the backside of the forearms, you've got, like, this part that juts up, like, on the elbow area. Juts out, I should say. And then it has, like, a little red point at the end. It's basically, like, a little wing for when it transforms. It, like, it pops out a little bit more. Side skirts are very simple. You've got, like, a front crotch plate. It's got, like, a little red divot that is similar to the ones on, like, the Tall Geese. Like, you know, it's like that little trapezoidal square, and it's got, like, a little tick mark on it. You know, the Tall Geese also has those a lot. And then I think the Leo maybe does, but I can't remember if the Leo does. I know the Tall Geese for sure has a bunch of those, because I remember lining them on the kits. The side skirts are just two pointy side skirts going down. The interesting thing about the waist is, so this guy has kind of a scrunched up waist in how it feels, because, like... You know, normally Gundam torsos are, like, two segments, right? Or, like, mobile suit torsos. This is, like, the one segment on top, a very, very small segment that's connecting into the waist, and then you've got, like, the purple waist armor. So it just looks a little bit more scrunched than, you know, we usually get.
Yeah, this machine is very, like, this is kind of the Bayonetta of Wing. It is all leg, baby.
Yeah. The rear skirt is similar to the front skirt, though it has, like, a little bump on the back of it, and then it's got two little, like, rear skirts attached to it that are very small. But yeah, and then as you go to the legs, you've got these big legs. rather beefy, and actually, sorry, small correction. These side skirts are not side skirts. They are actually part of the leg. You can see it on the rear line art. They're actually attached to the leg, and they're popped open on the leg. So,
oh, yeah.
Very minimal amount of skirt on this, actually. So that's just all leg, and it's hard to see the detail from the front because, well, it's a dark color on a dark color with even darker colors for the shadowed sections. But the line art makes it very clear, so. Yeah, so I presume those are just probably thrusters on the sides of the legs there, or possibly.
Probably.
Yeah. And this is an Ishigaki design. I am 95% certain. Let me double check that, because I'm looking at these legs, and these feel like Ishigaki legs. Oh, no, this is still Hajime Katoki. Wow. I was going to say, because the legs have a very monostructural feel, especially like on this rear line art. Mm-hmm. They just remind me of a lot of Ishigaki's wing designs, things like the Magwanax and all that. But no, this is still Katoki, so interesting. Yeah, he's made very simple legs here then, like, and very, like, again, monostructural pillar-like legs. They just look, when they're standing straight up, they don't look very fancy. They almost just look like big, giant, you know, pillars is kind of the thing. You've got, like, mm-hmm. a little bit of knee armor. Down the sides of the leg, you have, like, little, like, these little lines. On the front of the leg, right below the knee armor, you've got one of those little trapezoids with in red. On the default version, I should say, it's red. And then for the feet, you've got just two heels, or, like, a toe and a heel. Basically the same design for them, though, on the front and the back. A huge gap in the middle, and also visible pistons, which is pretty cool. Finally, for the backpack is basically just two wings, like, that can, I believe, if I look at the flight mode, I think they just, yeah, they just sort of, like, squeeze onto the sides of the arms, and I presume they just have thrusters on the inside of them, given their design there.
Yeah, this is one of the interesting examples. It's a design that shows off one of the ways that Wing often uses, like thrusters and verniers, where they're just like, oh, you see a gap, there's one in there. They don't have, like, express shapes for them as much.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't really get those. Now, when you get the model kits of them in the modern time, they tend to show them. But yeah, no, on the designs themselves, though, you don't really see them.
Yeah, if it's a fast mobile suit and you see, like, them just shading in a black gap, there's probably a vernier in there.
Yep. So, to mention the other colors, we have the Saint Kingdom colors, which is technically, we only really see Noin using it. Oh yeah, those trapezoids are still red on that then. Okay. It's like white, red, and then like a light purple. Which actually, I believe mm-hmm. that light purple is, yeah, it's like the same color on the original design. So it only really changes the main color to white, is what it does. And then we have the White Fang colors, which change a lot, because those are this bright magenta, or not even bright, it's magenta, pink, and yellow for the colors, and then, like, an eggplant for the joints, and, like, the waist and the backpack.
Very and also the colors. Visor is changed to the visor sort of is, a cyan.
Yeah. That's a weird color scheme. This is why I hope they do it, though, because I'd love to see that as a kit.
I think it looks great.
Yeah. And then for the transformation,
you missed two colors.
Oh, right. I see them down here.
You missed the Oz Prize, which is purple and yellow with a little bit of red still.
Yeah. Well, purple and yellow. Purple and gold. You can see it's
true.
Shiny.
And then it has, like, Leo green on some of the joints and stuff, the underframe kind of armor.
Very interesting colors. And then, of course, our good friend Roche also has one.
Mm-hmm.
Matching his fancy Leo, it is bright red. Still has that, like, kind of, like, you know, like, weird desaturated green, Leo-ish green going on the joints. And mm-hmm. then you have the gold in the gold places.
Yep.
And it's actually got two shades of gold, too, because if you look at, like, the little trapezoids or, like, the little vents around the forehead guard, see they're, like, a slightly lighter shade, which is interesting. Hoping it's two shades of gold. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also interesting seeing the color of the White Fang version in G-Gen World and Overworld there, because it's way more of like an eggplant color for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know. And then, of course, you have G-Gen Genesis if you go further down, which is a bit closer to the art. The weird color scheme that no one does consistently. It's fine. The transformation, though, very simple, basically, looking at it. It looks like it just kind of straightens all of its limbs and lays flat, and then just some parts move around, like the backpacks move over the sides of the arms.
It does the classic Zeta slap the gun on your back.
Yeah, honestly, it's pretty cool looking, though, just because, like, because the legs are such a weird design, it doesn't have, like, the Gundam leg problem in the same way, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of neat with it. Because, you know, like, a lot of times when you get transformations like this, you get the legs that are hanging off the end, and they still are here, but they look like proper, like, little thrusters just because the legs are so weird. Like I mentioned, like, the reason they look Ishigaki-ish is probably just to make this transformation look a little better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you just slap the gun onto the back. Should note, the weapons for this are... So we got a couple. There is a standard beam rifle, which is a cartridge-type beam rifle. We don't really have art of it on this page. I'm trying to see if I can find it. I guess it's... If you look at the flight mode art, it's the one on the bottom of the flight mode art.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, weird little long rifle. It's got some red along the sides of the barrel. There's the beam cannon, which is obviously the much larger one on the top of the flight mode Oz Colors version there. We also have art of the beam cannon. I do love this beam cannon. It's just a really big cannon with a square barrel. It doesn't have, like, a normal trigger mechanism. I believe when it's held, it's... Let's see. I want to see how it's held. Yeah, you kind of hold it...
underslung.
Yeah, it's got, like, a handle. It does have a handle towards the back in that little gap. But then also you have to carry, like, the little part on the on the top there. Like,
oh, yeah. Never mind. I was thinking of the space laser that they use very early in the show.
And then it has, funnily enough, a quote-unquote laser gun, which is very funny, because if you look at this laser gun's design,
it's just
like...
the Jim Bullpup rifle.
It's the Jim Bullpup rifle, yeah. You can even see it in the show, too. It is just the Jim Bullpup rifle, but it fires a laser now. And it looks like it actually does fire a laser, because it is, like, blue, and it does just fire, like, a straight beam.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's used is to, like, punch straight through a Virgo's shield, because it's like, oh, lasers interact with that shield differently.
Yeah, because they are not beams. And then, of course, beam sabers, which are only used specifically on the Saint Kingdom version. This is where you get into that weirdness where they're like, well, mobile dolls are not supposed to use melee weapons. And most of the ones we see, I believe, are in fact mobile dolls for these. Because there are piloted ones and mobile doll ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's why they specifically call out, oh, the Saint Kingdom version is the one that has beam sabers. Though, again, that always gets weird because it's supposed to be that mobile dolls don't use them, except they do sometimes. I will say that I imagine that Roche's would, because Roche loves his, like, rapier. It would be cool if he had a rapier for it, actually, kind of like the Leo.
Mm-hmm.
His fancy Leo, but... Yeah.
I really like, there is one of the shots from the show that is, we do actually get to see that there are multiple of the Saint Kingdom customs, at least in this one shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, with the rifles.
Because they look very much just like, in this shot, they do extremely look like just like futuristic planes.
Yeah, it's actually a really neat, like, I think this is a really neat design. Oh, yeah, and the other thing it does is the head kind of tucks in when transforming, so mm-hmm. the little square camera is hidden. And it just doesn't evoke, like, that it is... The arms don't evoke arms, right? Like, you can maybe stare at the legs long enough and go, okay, wait, those are legs? But it really is a clean transformation. Again, it's another reason I'm desperate for them to actually do a model of this thing, because I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's a neat mass production suit. I also love when Catra's using it. He is seemingly cutting the same way he does with his Chatels. Because
mm-hmm.
that is when Catra's piloting it and fighting the Virgos there, and he is doing his, you know, cross slash that he's always doing, which is fun. This is a background unit in Build Divers. This is not a true spoiler. Just like as a background cameo unit, there is a Virgo that is colored in Leo colors, which is pretty cool. I like seeing that.
Yeah. I feel like it makes its head look bigger, though.
It does make its head look a little bigger. But, yeah. And then that's the Taurus. It doesn't have any related units, because Wing is a whole series full of dead-end mobile suits. Not that that's a bad thing, it's just, you know.
Someday they'll animate Frozen Teardrop and we'll learn about some kind of Tauros successor, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. But, lucky for us, we don't have to deal with that right now.
Wow. Wow.
What? What do you mean, wow?
You said lucky for us. Like, I wouldn't want to talk about a Frozen Teardrop design.
It's, I mean, good luck. What they'll do is they'll show it enshrouded in a cloak, and then in maybe 15 more years we'll get one shot of it, like, out of the cloak.
You're not wrong. They do love putting mobile suits and cloaks in that thing.
In such a way that you really cannot tell what's going on at all with the mobile suit, other than the weapon it's holding.
I mean, they're doing, like, the Fist of the North Star cloak, right?
It's
silly. No, that's like where, like, you know, you're using it to hide who a person is.
Oh, yeah, but it's just so antithetical to, like, having a robot to wow over. Like, I'm sorry, but mecha are part of mecha's appeal is, in fact, the spectacle, right? And sure. When you're just having them covered in robes, like, you know, because even, like, the goofiest little mecha that blow up all the time, everyone loves, right? We all love a scope dog.
Mm-hmm.
So just being like, yeah, trust us, it's really cool, it's got all these really cool weapons, can I see it? No. No, not at all. It's just so bothersome to me, that's all. That's how I just feel about Frozen Teardrop. I know apparently, according to the author, that is Kotoki's fault because he didn't want to reveal the suits too early. Of course that is... Even if it's from the author, it's hearsay, and we know that he had a weird time working on it, and so it's just... The whole thing is weird. Frozen Teardrop...
Is it over yet?
Yeah, it's done.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it has an... Oh, it has a very definitive ending. A very funny ending, too.
Huh. Okay.
You know what? Frozen Teardrop spoilers, just for this last little section, just for a moment...
Well, as you just heard, Dylan's about to read the final, like, line/lines of Frozen Teardrop, a very long-running sequel series to Gundam Wing that seems like it will never get properly translated. It's not really a big deal. It's a pretty predictable ending of a thing you'll probably never get a chance to read. But if you do care about that, tap out now. You're not going to miss anything. There's a couple more minutes left in the episode, but I promise you nothing interesting is really said. It's just sort of us just winding down.
Yeah, it ends with Hiro reciting a really bad poem to propose to Relena.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like something he'd do.
It's so goofy. All right. Well, now that you've mentioned it, it's like, fuck, I have to find this. Hold on. Because it is ridiculous. Hiro poem. The final chapter of Frozen Teardrop. Okay. Oh yeah, Coda did it, right. So, rough translation. The frozen teardrops melted in Relena's eyes, flowing down her face. Hiro wiped them away before whispering in her ear, "Please watch me, Relena. Watch you. Like you, I'll discard the name of Hiro Yui. From now on, I can let my soul shine. No, let it continue to shine." Hiro handed her an envelope. You finally came to deliver it to me. Relena opened it. Written inside were English letters, which read, "Your sight, my delight, will you marry me?" Relena nodded, silently, deeply. The end.
I don't know if you can call it a poem when it's
two lines.
It's
not even a poem.
Lines.
It's like, yeah, it's a little... I thought it was a little longer than that. No, I forgot. It's just like one little line. Which is very funny. It's just, it's very goofy. That's all. It's just goofy. Anyway. That was a few years ago. Yeah, Frozen Teardrop's like mega over now.
Okay. Yeah, information about it does not get updated very often. So it's easy to be in a, you know, to not understand the state of affairs.
Let me see when it ended, actually. Yeah, about 2015. Yep, December of 2015. I'm wondering, actually looking at the date on these posts when, because this is when Deacon was talking about, oh yeah, Frozen Teardrop is ending officially. Yeah, they released, oh no, they did it on 12/23. I was hoping they would release on Christmas. Damn. Volume 12 and 13, the final two volumes released on 12/23/2015. Damn. Why not on...
Well, so you could have it for Christmas, because if you release something on Christmas, no one buys it.
That's, it's Christmas, you know what, that's they're busy. Fair. It just, look, it would have been funny. Anyway.
It would have. It would have.
All right. So, closing. Six. Where can people find you online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. You can DM me there with anything about, you know, Scanline Media stuff. Yeah. You can also find Scanline Media stuff at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me at lowpolyrobot on twitter.com and on co-host at lowpolyrobot. Twitter, I've mostly been posting Warframe screenshots of me customizing things and being like, damn, this looks cool. And on co-host, I just do my usual daily mecha posts. I haven't done one today yet because it is still early. I usually do them at like by like 6 p.m. but or 6 p.m. my time, I should say. But I did the Blanche Neige recently, which is a really cool unit from SRW. Actually, real quick, just because we'll never, ever, ever get this as like a request or anything, for at least for years. Quick impression. Do you think this thing's cool, Six?
Pull this guy up. And actually, where never mind. I'm gonna shut up here. Let me see here.
I like it. I like that it switches its arms for its different armaments.
I like a lot about it. Mm-hmm. I think the arms are the part I'm not sold on. I just don't think they aesthetically mesh with the rest of the design very well. Yeah.
Then the final thing is its final upgrade, which is just turning it into a mobile armor.
Sure, you know.
Which is covered in bits and reflector bits, so I like it.
I mean, reflector bits rule.
Yeah. And normal bits, so it fires the normal bits into the reflector bits to do all kinds of crazy shit. Anyway, just wanted to show that, because it's a cool robot. Anyway, alright, that's it. Six, do you have a Gundam Wink quote to end us off with that we haven't used yet?
I wanted one for Noin, but people don't write that down because they're misogynists, right?
They're all Wufeis.
But I guess I would say that battles that risk men's lives are miscalculations.
Peace.
Peace.